Heavenly Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for this Bible. Oh, how you have preserved it for us, and you have kept it for us that we might study it, that we might read it and memorize it, meditate on it, feast on it. Help us to be diligent in that. And tonight, dear Lord, I pray that you take this simple thoughts and only use them only how you can. The Holy Spirit of God, I give every aspect of this message, every aspect of this service over to you now, that you would do in our hearts what you will, what you want to do and we're willing to do. Allow us to open our hearts to you and to speak to our hearts in only the way that you can. And use me, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever been through an experience in life that has left you physically, mentally, and just spiritually exhausted? Recently, I've been through that. Has this experience, as you go through it in life, you go through the roller coaster of emotions. At moments, you're on just a cloud nine, and on other moments, you're sobbing. In other moments, you're on your knees and you can't even cry. You don't have any tears left, or you don't know what to say when you're praying, or other times, you're just laughing. A roller coaster of emotions through this experience. And this experience, though, leaves you not only exhausted, it leaves you possibly downcast in your attitude. It leaves you possibly discouraged. It leaves you possibly uncertain of what is next. Quite likely, you are traveling down the valley of the shadow of death. Sometime in our lives, not just once, but multiple times in our lives, the Lord will direct us down through the valley of the shadow of death. And the shadow of death here in verse 4 of chapter 23 of the Psalms, that death does not just mean death. Yes, literally it means the shadow of death. But it also can mean a shadow of darkness. It can mean the shadow of danger. It can mean the shadow of despair. And as we go through this Christian life and we journey on this Christian life, this world does not like us. It does not like Christians. And we're seeing that more and more in the news today, not just some faraway country, but in our own country, we are seeing where people are despising Christians. And those Christians, I think of that couple that owns a bakery out in Oregon, how they're taking a stand for their faith. And they are standing up saying, I'm a Christian. And they put a gag order on saying, you can't speak about this. They say, well, I still have my freedom of speech. And they're continuing to talk about their faith. They're going through a valley of the shadow of death or despair or discouragement. You think you're immune? Do I think I'm immune? No, we're not immune to those valleys. The Lord is going to bring us into those valleys multiple times in our lives. But I love how it goes on to say in verse 4, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Amen. The Lord's already been through the valley of the shadow of death. He knows the way. And He's the one that's driving us and directing us and guiding us through that valley. So when we're experiencing that valley that we're in of discouragement, despair, and danger and death possibly, when we're experiencing that, we come through it and we're just physically and mentally and spiritually exhausted and we've just run the whole gamut of our emotions, we've got to remember that God is right there with us through every step. You know, there's such a week in the Bible that experiences, the people experience this valley of the shadow of death, this valley of despair, this valley of discouragement, this valley of darkness, this valley of danger. There's a week like that in the Word of God that we can learn from, that we can apply Psalm 23 to also. So turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew. And the 21st verse will begin, or 21st chapter will begin. We know this week by a term that's been given as called the Passion Week. And the citizens and the visitors that are visiting in Jerusalem at this time of the Passover, they're experiencing such a valley as this. They've had whirlwinds of activity. They've experienced full range of emotions over the last several days. We see in Matthew 21, beginning in verse number 5, "Tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." They are in a mountain peak of celebration, of a triumphant entry of Jesus Christ into Jerusalem. This is not just the disciples, this is the multitudes, it says. And they enter upon the city in Jerusalem. And when he was coming to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, "Who is this?" And the multitude said, "This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee." And I say to that, Jesus, the Son of God, the Son of God has entered into Jerusalem. They're looking at the Messiah. They're thinking, here he is. He's come to deliver us from the Romans. We can oust Pilate. We can get rid of these government officials. He's come. Let's celebrate. Let's triumphant in his celebration. So at one moment, they find themselves celebrating. And the very next moment, they're shocked and surprised. Jesus goes into the temple of God in verse 12 and cast out all of them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves and said unto them, "It is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves." And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple and he healed them. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did and the children crying in the temple saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were sore displeased. They're on this mountain peak and they go into the temple and they're surprised and shocked at what Jesus does as he throws over the money changers' table. He's cleaning the temple out. This is the second time he has done that in Jerusalem, into the temple. And they're sort of surprised and they're shocked, but the children come running to him, singing and praising him. But the chief priests don't like it. The scribes don't like it. The Pharisees don't like it. And then they find themselves in Mark chapter 15. And verse 12, they're caught up in this moment, in these activities that are going on throughout this week. They find themselves caught up in the moment in Mark chapter 15, beginning in verse number 12. "And Pilate answered and said again unto them, What will ye then that I shall do unto him whom ye call the King of the Jews? And they cried out again, Crucify him. Then Pilate said unto them, Why, what evil hath he done? And they cried out the more exceedingly, Crucify him. How did we get from a celebration and a triumphant entry of Christ into Jerusalem to crucify him? And then it goes further back in Matthew chapter 27 and verse number 39. Chapter 27 of Matthew, the Word of God says in verse number 39, Jesus is hanging on the cross now. He's been arrested, he's been tried. He has been beaten. He has got the crown of thorns on his head. He's been nailed to a cross. And in verse 39 of Matthew 27, "And they that passed by reviled him and wagged their heads, and saying, Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself, if thou be the Son of God. Come down from the cross." They're mocking Christ. How did they get from one extreme to another? Christ is on the cross, and in a space of 3 hours, there is total darkness. There is an earthquake. The graves open, and the saints arise and are seen in the city. But through all this week, through all these activities, through all these emotions, it's still the Passover. They've got to prepare for the Passover. And then the disciples, these are just the citizens of the city and the visitors that are visiting Jerusalem. But then we have the disciples of Jesus Christ that have been with Christ for 3.5 years. They are also experiencing things that are like, it's a whirlwind of activity throughout this week with instructions, but also emotions, the triumphant entry of Christ into Jerusalem, the curse and the lessons of faith of the fig tree, Jesus weeping over Jerusalem, the cleansing of the temple, the Olivet Discourse where he's talking about the king returning and the temple being destroyed, the preparation of the Last Supper, the institution of the Lord's Supper, the announcement of one will betray him, and they're all saying, "Is it I, Lord? Is it I?" The Garden of Gethsemane and the agony of prayer, the betrayal of Judas Iscariot, the disciples all then forsake Christ and flee and hide. Then they have the arrest of Christ. Peter denies the Lord 3 times. The trial of Jesus, the crucifixion of Jesus, the 7 sayings of Christ on the cross, his yielding up his life for all of mankind, and the death of their master. Do you not think they have experienced every emotion they possibly could have that week? Do you not think they have gone through the extremes of activities, seeing the glory of God and then seeing the ugliness of man? And seeing how God has brought His Son now to this cross. And He's been lifted up and people have reviled Him and wagged their heads and mocked Him. And they're all in hiding. Jesus has given His life on Calvary. It wasn't taken from Him. He gave His life on Calvary for the sins of all mankind. The earthly days of Jesus' ministry have come to a close. Jesus has completed every minute detail of God's will. He has kept every article of the law and has willingly become the blood sacrifice for our Passover. We could see, go into Hebrews 9 and Hebrews 10 and see that one sacrifice was for all. It's not something that has to be done over and over and over like an animal sacrifice. After such a week, the disciples now are undoubtedly saying to themselves, what now? Christ has given His life on the cross. What now? We've devoted 3.5 years to this man who we thought was our master, who we called Rabboni, who we thought was the Son of Christ, the Son of God. What now? How could this happen? They were in the valley of the shadow of death. In the valley of the shadow of death, there is fear and uncertainty. The disciples had forsaken Christ after the Garden of Gethsemane, and they're in hiding in fear of their lives. Mark 14, verse 50 says, and they all, how many? They all forsook Him and fled. Again in Matthew 26, 56, then all the disciples forsook Him and fled. But turn over to John. I want you to see this. Turn over to John chapter 20. In the valley of the shadow of death, there is fear and uncertainty. These men have spent 3.5 years with Jesus. And now He has died. And John chapter 20, look in verse 19. I know this is after the resurrection, but it speaks as of what's happened before. It's from the Garden of Gethsemane to now. John 20, verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus. But before Jesus came, what were they doing? They were hiding in fear of the Jews. In the valley of the shadow of death, there is fear. There is uncertainty. Have you ever been in a surgical operating room and you're like, Lord, I don't know what to expect. I don't know what the outcome is. I know what the doctors have said, but I need you right here now. Or you've been in a hospital room with a loved one and you've seen them on life support and you've seen, Lord, I've tried to do what you've asked. I've tried to give them to you, but please, Lord, raise them up. Heal their bodies. Take the pain away. Give us one more moment with them. There's fear and uncertainty. The disciples are uncertain about their future. They have spent the better part of those 3 years with Jesus. They have been taught by Jesus. They've seen, though, now he's been arrested. He's been tried. He's been crucified. And now he's dead. How can this be? We thought he was the Messiah. We thought he was the Son of God. You want to notice their attitudes? Look with us. It's recorded in Luke chapter 24 and verse 13. We have the two disciples on the Emmaus Road. Luke 24 and verse 13, this is their mentality. This is what they're believing. This is what they think at this time. In Luke 24 verse 13, and behold, two of them went that same day into a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things that had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleophas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. And when they found not his body, they came saying they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. This is the mentality of the disciples. Where is Jesus? What has happened to Jesus? He was the Son of God, we thought. He was the Messiah. And now our lives are in danger. We must be in hiding. We must be in fear. We're in uncertainty. In the valley of the shadow of death, there is fear. In the valley of the shadow of death, there is uncertainty. Would you agree with me on that? Amen. In the valley of the shadow of death, though, we are to remain faithful. Turn back with me to Mark 15. Mark 15. To make progress through this valley that we're going through, we can't just sit on the side of the road holding our knees, hiding our eyes that from what all's going around us. We must keep moving forward through faith, occupying, serving, trusting, believing. Mark 15 and verse 42 shows us these individuals that kept on, keeping on. Mark 15, 42. And now when the even was come, because it was the preparation, that is the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus. And Pilate marveled, where are the disciples? They're in hiding for fear of the Jews. And here is one, Joseph of Arimathea, says, I'll boldly go to Pilate and ask for the body. And Pilate marveled if he were already dead and called unto him the centurion. And he asked him whether he had been any while dead. And when he knew it of the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph. And he bought fine linen and took him down and wrapped him in the linen and laid him in a sepulcher which was hewn out of a rock, and rolled a stone unto the door of the sepulchre. We could look at Luke 23 also for this account, John 19, but go with me to Matthew 27. It shows us just a few more things about this event. We also know Nicodemus was there as well. It came to Christ in John 3. And Nicodemus and Judas, Joseph of Arimathea here, are taking care of the body of Christ. They are willing to put themselves out there and say, we love Jesus. We're willing of any circumstances, any consequences that could come, we desire His body that we might prepare it for death. And here in Matthew chapter 27, notice with me in verse 57. When the even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. Why wasn't he in hiding? Why wasn't he in fear of the Jews? He was remaining faithful. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, and he laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock. In the valley of the shadow of death, to remain faithful, it's going to cost you something. It's costing Joseph of Arimathea his own tomb. But not only that, he's brought with him the spices that were used to prepare the body for the laying in the tomb. He brought the fine linen. It cost them something to remain faithful in the valley of the shadow of death. And he says in verse 60, and he laid in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock, and he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre. What are those last two words? And he departed. I've done all that I can. In the valley of the shadow of death, yes, there's fear and uncertainty. In the valley of the shadow of death, we are to remain faithful. And it will cost us something to remain faithful. And though we remain faithful, and though it costs us something, there's still that uncertainty. I've done all I can. He rolls the stone. He and of Nicodemus roll the stone in front of the door. It says a great stone in front of the door of the tomb. And he departs. I've done all I can. They had faith, Joseph and Nicodemus. They had faith to be identified as followers of Christ, while the others were in hiding. As they rolled, though, the great stone to the door, there was a sense of finality. There was a sense of despair. There was a sense of uncertainty. What is next? What is to come next? What about us? We are in the valley of the shadow of death. And then, though, back to Psalm 23, as we stopped at verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. In the valley of the shadow of death, there is protection and security from the foolishness and the unbelief of our enemies.
Amen.
Why? Because God, through Jesus Christ, has already been through that valley. And He guides us through that valley every step of the way. What does this psalm say? I will fear no evil. Why? Because I'm so brave. Why? Because I'm so courageous. Why? Because I'm so bold. Why? So I'm so ignorant of what might be going on. No, because Thou art with me. In the valley of the shadow of death, yes, there's fear. Yes, there's uncertainty. In the valley of the shadow of death, we are to remain faithful, and it's going to cost us something in this country today when we remain faithful, when we stand up and say, I'm a Christian, and this is what I believe. I stand upon this book, and when I do that, there's going to be a cost. There's going to be uncertainty. There's going to be fear, but there's protection, and there's security in our own. For we have the Holy Spirit of God living within inside of us, and He is with us every step of the way. Notice, though, back, I know I'm swiping back and forth, but notice back in Matthew 27, there's some action here by those foolish unbelievers, the enemies of Christians. As soon as He's buried, As soon as the stone probably is not even moved all the way to the door of the tomb, before Joseph and Nicodemus have departed, here we have in Matthew 27 and verse 62, "Now the next day that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again." The enemies remembered that. Why didn't the disciples remember that? "Command, therefore, that the sepulchre..." Look what they say, these Pharisees and these chief priests. "Command..." They're talking to the governor of Rome here in their province. "Command, therefore, that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead, so that the last error shall be worse than the first. Pilate said unto them, ye have a watch. Go your way. Make it as sure as you can. So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch." I can imagine the lengths these chief priests and these Pharisees went through to seal that tomb. Today we'd say, bring out the heaviest chain you can find. Bring out the duct tape. Somebody go get the Gorilla Glue. Somebody go get the crazy glue. Somebody go get whatever we can get to seal this tomb so that we know it's sure. And not only that, they had a Roman guard, the watch. Now these men, these were tough men. They were embattled soldiers. And here they are, part of the Roman guard at this tomb. And if they were in dereliction of their duty, if they failed to do their duty, they could be killed. We are protected and secure in the valley of the shadow of death, no matter what the enemy throws at us. Until the Lord is done with us on this earth, individually, nothing can harm us from the enemy. We are protected and secure in the valley by not just somebody. We are protected and secure in the valley by the Lord of Lords, and by the King of Kings, and by the Creator of the universe. For He is with us every step of the way. No matter what lengths our enemies go, we are protected. You're gonna scare me with death? As Paul says, go ahead. For I know absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, and that's far better. In the valley of the shadow of death, there is fear and uncertainty. In the valley of the shadow of death, we know that we are to remain faithful and it's going to cost us something. In the valley of the shadow of death, there is protection and security from our enemies. But also in the valley of the shadow of death, there is victory. And Matthew 28 and verse 1, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre." They weren't there to see the resurrected Christ. They were bringing spices to prepare His body even more. And they're questioning other gospel records, how are we going to move the stone away? Because they wanted to prepare His body with spices that they had bought. "And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. And his countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and become as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified." That's past tense. He was crucified. He is not here, for He is risen. As He said, come see the place where the Lord lay. Oh my, we serve a risen Savior. We don't serve one that's still in the tomb today. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, let me show you what Christ did for us, that we can have no fear in the valley of the shadow of death. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 54. "So when this corruptible," that's us, "this body, so when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Why? Because He's already gotten the victory over death, hell, and the grave. Amen. You don't believe me? Go to Revelation chapter 1. One verse here. Don't want to stop tonight. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 18. I am He, Jesus is speaking, I am He that liveth. He's not dead. I am He that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. He has the victory. So when we go through the valley of the shadow of death, we don't have to fear. We don't have to be uncertain. We must remain faithful. We know we have protection and security from our enemies because He has already won the victory. Psalm 23 and verse 4 says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Who? That one that has the victory. And Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Our Lord knows the way through the wilderness. For He Himself has traveled down the road that travels through the valley of the shadow of death. We must go through these valleys, not around them. Don't try to skirt around the valleys. You must go through these valleys. If you try to skip it, it'll come back. Amen. We must go through these valleys, not around them. Our Lord will travel through them with us. While walking through this life on our Christian journey, our Lord will guide us into the valley of the shadow of death, time to time, so that we can learn the lessons only taught in the valley. The school in the valley is the richest school of all. We learn about God's protection. We learn about His faithfulness. It's in the valley of the shadow of death that we learn to pray more and we learn to intercede for others. It's in the valley of the shadow of death that we must learn to trust Him more and more and more and to remain faithful even though it's costing us something. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Say it with me. I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love You tonight. I know it sounds odd, Lord, but thank You for the valleys. We don't like them when we're going through it. We don't like the journey in the valley, but we're supposed to. We're supposed to not fear. We're not supposed to be uncertain, but we are. We're human. We're flesh. But we're to remain faithful in those valleys. Even though it cost us something, help us to remain faithful in those valleys. And Lord, we know, I pray, we know that we have protection and security from our enemies. Why? Because You have already won the victory. Praise the Lord for that. Lord, we're going to give You those valleys right now. I don't know what valley anyone's going through, and they don't know the valleys I'm going through. But we're going to give that valley to You, and we're going to enjoy the journey. We're going to learn the lessons that You're trying to teach us through this valley. And help us to be encouraged in the Lord. Help us to be uplifted in the Lord. Help us to remain faithful and keep our eyes on You through this valley. And when we come through the other side, let us be rejoicing, knowing that it wasn't ourselves that brought us through the valley. It was You. Help us with that, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' precious name we pray and ask it. Amen.